Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 206. Continuing our positional previews for the 2025 fantasy baseball season, heading to the outfield for part one, ADPs 1 through 30 of the outfield position. We'll obviously get the rest of them to you next week or the week after, depending on what our schedule looks like, but you'll be getting them very, very shortly. Before we get to that, some housekeeping. You can find me on Twitter at BDNtrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on the Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
Fantastic, man. Just filed my first speculator article over at Baseball HQ earlier today. We did our first ever Patreon bonus episode earlier today as well, with like 15 mailbag questions from folks on the Patreon. So that was cool. I got to heckle you from the chat room last night, best of all, on your Beat Bubba OC. Yep. Don't want to side rail things, but how was that in the from your side? For me, it was awesome being in the chat and being able to heckle you with text. Ben did a great job too. But
yeah,
what'd you think?
It was fun. It was obviously January 20th draft time, not ideal type thing, but it was fun to get
early. But hey,
you get some values. I set some max picks on a handful of guys that I was pretty pumped on, some men's as well. Junior Caminero, looking at you. So it was fun to test the waters. Definitely a different strategy than I've ever done, waiting until round 9 for my first starting pitcher. I did have a relief pitcher in round 4, Devin Williams, let me clarify, but 7 bats in the first 8 picks. And in reality, I think the pitching turned out pretty good, all things considered. It was definitely different. Definitely different. But it was fun. Nick Anderson just jumped in the chat. He was drafting with us. That was great to see. He's a Bubba and the Bloomy. So it was good to have him in there and some other fun stuff. So yeah, it was a blast. I love doing the live streams. Ben helped a ton because it's nice to have someone to kind of occupy the dead air space when you're trying to get your bearings at times. Yeah. And that was a lot of fun, and the chat was popping. So it was good for a Monday night in January to get the I think it was the first real beat OC draft out there. Yours is Monday, so I've already heard who has one next Friday night, I believe. I think it's Friday night. There'll be another one getting announced, not us, but you guys better go beat that boy's ass is all I'm going to say, if that gives you any clue on who it is. Because he loves to hear himself talk, if that helps you at all. Loves to hear himself talk, and he can resuscitate you if you need to. So go get him on next Friday night.
Can he resuscitate batting average? Because I think that's what your team needed.
You know me by now. Ratios are not my friend when it comes to –
That was one of my comments. You employed your famous whip strategy towards.
It was better than what I usually do. Usually it's like a 1-3 to 1-4 with this thing on your sheet, your mighty sheet. 1-2-3.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good. I'm just giving you a bunch of shit because like I said, I'm up next. So my league filled earlier today. So that also happened today. So it was a fun day.
Yep. It was a blast. You're locked and loaded. You got the one of the previous overall champions in the OCs in your league, so that'll be fun for you as well.
Yeah, fantastic. That'll be nice and easy.
Yep. No problems at all there for sure. Yeah, that was a fun time. You mentioned the first Patreon only episode. That was a blast as well today. Mailbag episode. A lot more of those coming along, which will be a ton of fun. And speaking of Patreon. Listener leagues, only going to bug you with these a couple more shows, guys.
Last time, second to last time.
Yeah, maybe. I'm going to give you the full rundown on what they are, because I actually had people hit me up over the weekend for the specs, because I try not to do it every episode. So here you go, listeners. Pay attention. Listener leagues, the final day to sign up is this Friday, January 24th. At that point, Ryan and I will start putting lists together. We'll start working at the NFC to get dates, yada, yada. Then we'll send out some emails about picking out your best days, times, and whatnot. So, listener leagues, it is $50 to sign up in the league. $50 through the NFBC, not us. You don't send me any money. That simple. So your entry fee is $50. It's a 15-team auction format. So there will be a monetary prize for first, second, and third place based on how your league ends up. If you are a paid Patreon member, you get a guaranteed spot if you so choose to want one in the listener leagues. The only other way to get in the listener leagues, besides being an awesome listener, because this is not promoted anywhere else except this show, unless someone else is doing it for fun. Thank you, I guess. But you have to be a free Patreon, and then we put you on the list. And if there's room, which there should be, you never know, but you'll get a shot. But you at least have to be a free or paid Patreon. Paid Patreon, guaranteed shot. Free Patreon, you're on the list. Should get in, but just in case it doesn't even out to 15 teams each, sorry. Every 15 teams that sign up will get a new league. Right now we're at about 95 entries when you said it, 100. Or 100 entries.
Just said triple digits.
Yeah, we have 100 signups already, which is mind-boggling, honestly. We had 4 leagues last year. We had 56 signups. Ryan and I were 4 signups, basically. We played 2 leagues each. Yeah. Right now there's 98 signups because we're only in 1 each. So that's pretty crazy. We're approaching 7 leagues right now, which is pretty cool. I think we'll get to at least 8, maybe 10, based on some things we're looking at there. So check that out. But again, you have to sign up by Friday, January 24th, to get into 15-team, $50 entry auction formats.
And by signing up, it's basically just let me or Bubba know, or email us if you're not on social media, BubbaBloomPod@gmail.com. We're just trying to, especially if you're a free Patreon member, we're just trying to get headcounts to know how many leagues to actually make with the NFBC this week. So that's what we mean by signing up.
And the reason we need to know this now is so we can get this figured out, because the drafts will start in the middle of February. We were looking, there's a President's Day, I believe, is the 17th, Monday the 17th, because I think Valentine's Day is on a Friday. So we might do a draft that Saturday or Sunday the 16th, since it's a holiday on Monday, and then do some maybe a day draft on Monday, kickstart things that way. So we need to finish all the drafts before March 1st. They have to be done. So start middle of February, end of February. That's the plan there. All right. There's your semantics on how this works. There are overall prizes. This is where it gets fun, folks. Thanks to the wonderful people at baseballhq.com. And we did not even ask for these. They were gracious enough to offer them up to us, which is awesome. So for your leagues, there's still the monetary prizes, first, second, and third place. That's not changing. But if you finish second place in your individual league, you get to be a part of the 2026 Baseball HQ Draft Prep subscription. It gives you full site access from mid-January through April. Pretty awesome gig there. If you win your league, 2026 full year subscription to Baseball HQ. Full, all access for a full year Baseball HQ. Pretty darn awesome stuff there as well. Now, if you win the overall prize, could be 7 leagues, could be 10 leagues, you win the granddaddy of them all, the overall. You win free registration to First Pitch Arizona 2025. That is pretty dang cool. Yep. Pretty, pretty cool stuff there. So the wonderful people at Baseball HQ donated those prizes. Anything else on the listener leagues, Ryan, before I have the last announcement?
No, just thanks to HQ. And again, those are on top of the kind of the money prizes you get through the NFBC from the $50 entry. So very grateful to those guys for hooking us up with that.
All right, we mentioned that if you finish second in your league, you get a 2026 Baseball HQ Draft Prep subscription. Well, if you want a 2025 Baseball HQ Draft Prep subscription, which gets you access to the entire site from now through April, all the articles, all the projections, everything you can think of, like Ryan's first speculator article comes out Wednesday when you're probably listening to the show. Boom. I just got my assignments for PT tomorrow's. Those are going to be starting ramping up. Everyone's getting to work over at HQ to get you ready for your drafts and the start of the season. If you want to get the 2025 version of this, use promo code Bubba Bloom, all one word, BUBBABLOOM, for $10 off the draft prep subscription. Ryan, what else you got for that?
That was pretty smooth, man. That was pretty smooth. I don't have too much to add to that. It would knock, the $10 off knocks the draft prep price from $45 down to $35, which is a pretty sweet deal given the amount of content and tools that HQ puts out, including, like you said, some of our stuff, which is part of that package. So would highly recommend, if you have not subscribed to HQ before, if you're on the fence, whatever, use code Bubba Bloom, $35 through the end of April. I think it's a pretty sweet deal. I'm biased, but I think it's well worth your hard-earned money.
Yeah, I think it's a great way, because there's a ton of sites out there. I'm not going to act like there aren't.
And so
there's some people always want to get a taste. It's like, go to Costco, get a sample, see if you want to try something, those kind of things. $35 for about 3.5 months. Like that's a pretty good deal. Like that's a pretty good way to try it out to see if you want to jump in for good. And one last thing we'll mention here, Kevin Hastings in the chat here says that overall prize is a life-changing win if someone that has not attended FPAS wins it. Agreed. That's
and yeah,
I hope someone has never been.
Not hyperbole, because literally earlier today, one of the questions we had in our mailback episode was on the Patreon was how did the podcast come to be? How did the podcast start? Yeah, the origin story. So we gave the origin story, and a good chunk of that was us hanging out and chilling together at First Pitch Arizona before we decided to do this. So, we have pubbed First Pitch frequently, often because we believe in it, and yeah, it would be an awesome prize to win for the overall. So
as like as much as I would love to win the overall just for gloating purposes on you, like I would have like a banner behind me or something. I honestly hope it's someone that's never been. Yeah. I think that'd be absolutely amazing. Like if someone's never been, check it out. And let me clarify, it's registration. It does not count for lodging or transportation. You still got to get there, but it's a gigantic chunk of the pie if you're looking at it.
Yes, it is.
All right. Enough of that. I apologize for those that don't like it, but you can always fast forward. So make that happen.
You can hit plus 30, a lot of times. 24 times. And yes, we get to the outfield preview part.
But here we are. Outfield preview. We're going to do three of these because obviously you need to have in a 12-team league, 60 outfielders go, 15 league, 90 outfielders go. So it's much deeper than your other positions. So we're going to do three episodes, 30 outfielders an episode, essentially, is what it comes down to. The last episode, we always kind of go a little quicker through, it feels like, because it's deeper and maybe give some more long shot targets at that point. So we're going to kick it off here, Ryan. What do you got for us when we're looking at the good old Bloom board tonight?
A lot of green. I think outfield is the spot where this is where you can get the most kind of five category production, which is what I'm looking at earlier in drafts to kind of put some numbers behind that. There are currently by Steamer, there are 11 hitters projected for what I call five category stats, 260 plus batting average, 20 plus homers and 20 plus steals. There's only 11 projected to do that by Steamer. Of those 11, seven of them are outfielders. So this is kind of where you are getting your kind of raw category totals in bunches, and you can see that on this board that we're looking at. It's again, it's the same structure of the board. It's outfielders 1 through 30 on ADP with their Steamer projections color coded, and you can see that really that whole top, I would say almost 20, top 25, some pretty damn well-rounded players. And what we've been talking about, a common theme on some of the other positions, is like you need to go here for this category. You need to go, for example, like a middle pocket second base for steals. Outfield is where you kind of have it all, at least early on. But I think there's a wide swath of well-rounded five category guys in the top 20 at outfield.
One thing I'll add to that, because yes, this is where you get a ton of studs. But a reason there are a ton of studs, and you mentioned like the top 20 to 25, the top 23 are in the top 100 of ADP. So like when we look at other charts where positions, things go down, it's like your top, like that top 100 might be the top eight guys or something. And now we're talking 23. So that obviously changes things. And that's why when we look at these boards in the next two outfield previews, you're going to see a lot more red and like very little green, because basically they're compared to the outfield. So as Ryan obviously mentioned earlier, but that part stood out to me as yes, these are all great, but I think we need to like take a step back and go, yeah, most of these, like all of them go before pick 134 on this entire 30 person chart. So you're only going to get a couple of them unless you're super aggressive and you skip pitching. That's an option.
Who would do that?
I don't know. Some smart bald guy that's living the dream somewhere. I don't know. But yeah, that I just wanted to highlight that part because it's deep. It seems deep on this sheet, but in reality, in a 12 team league, you're basically just the first 10 rounds.
Yeah. I think I'm going to pull up another graphic here just to kind of take that, what you were talking about, that kind of longer range view at the position. Cause tonight we are only focusing on the top 30 in terms of players, But I do want to take it. So again, for the YouTube crowd, for folks viewing this, I put this together actually for our outfield rankings article that's going to be coming out on the Patreon. What you're seeing here is a line graph of the projected values. I won't get into what SGP is, but basically the projected values by outfield by rank. And so you can kind of see this line graph as we go deeper into the outfield pool. What I think are those cliffs at the position. I think there's a pretty firm cliff around top 15. I think your elite of the elite are gone by the top 15 in outfield. Mini cliff by about, and we'll get into this portion of the pool in the next episode on Thursday, around 30 to 35. There's another, I think, kind of drop in terms of projected value. And this is all projected by Steamer, which is on Fangraphs. And then what I think is really the true cliff for outfield is when you get to like outfield 55 through 60. I think after that, it really starts to fall apart down to like 10 SGP, which is not very much, which is kind of close to replacement level. So I think you need to be looking at this rightmost line, this cliff at around 55 through 60 for outfield, and at least make sure you have at minimum 3, ideally 4 outfielders by that point, because it really does drop after that. And in fab leagues, and we're starting to kind of slowly turn over to fab league type drafts going on right now, in fab leagues I think you can get by with like 3 or 4 really strong outfielders, because at least last year there were a ton of outfielders available in fab. So I just wanted to throw this graph up there so we could kind of visualize and see where those projected value cliffs are at outfield as a whole.
Yeah, and I like that last part you mentioned there about the fab leagues. That was one of my things I mentioned during the live stream on Monday, as cattywampus as things got for me, having to go super pitcher run Yellow Brick Road for a while there, because you know stuff happens. I flat out said like catcher 2 and fifth outfielder, we could fab that. We could do that. We've talked about it multiple times, especially the outfielders in a 12-team league. Like you can stream a lot of those throughout the season and live pretty well in that situation.
So. One other thing I've noticed that Michael in the chat just pointed up, he tries to get 3 of the top 30 if possible. If not, the platooners creep up pretty fast. Very and true. I am seeing that as well. Platoons are around, if you haven't heard, in baseball and in outfield, it's very prevalent. Once you start to get deeper in the pool, finding everyday playing time is tough. The players are still fine, especially the strong side platooners. But yeah, platooners and volume starts to become an issue as well.
Yep, 100% agree. Great point by Michael. Our buddy Michael Cicchini right there as well. Really good stuff. So I think that kind of sums up the kind of strategy. Obviously, things change and you can move around the outfield, but you want to be – we say this every position, you want to be aggressive. But you could, there's a little more wiggle room here. You're either probably taking an outfielder or a shortstop in round one. That's probably what's happening for you. You're doing that. And then in round two, you're probably taking an outfielder or a corner infield if you're not going pitcher. And then it gets interesting from there. So that's where most of the early looks have been for sure. All right, let's get into it. Let's start talking about some good old top 30 outfielders here. And we'll start with the man, the myth, the legend, the American League MVP himself. Aaron Judge has the ADP of 3, the man on the cover of the forecast. We're still waiting for mine, by the way. So we're good there. January 21st.
I think at this point you may want to reach out.
Round two attempt was supposed to be a week ago. I'm still waiting for that one. So we'll see.
Was someone change the numbers on your house or something?
I don't know. It's fun. Still waiting on that one. We'll see. Didn't come in today. But Aaron Judge, ADP of 3. Right now, last year, put up that monster year, 58 home runs, 122 runs, 144 RBIs, even tossed in 10 steals while hitting .322. That's just video game stuff, Ryan. Regression is natural in these occurrences, but even with that, would you be interested in Judge at 3? Because I know I've been fortunate to not have to make that decision.
I mean, is regression even natural with Judge? He had 62 3 years ago.
I think you have to plan for regression. Yes. And then he could obviously exceed it. Yes.
Yeah. But I think like a fair projection for Judge is upwards of 50 home runs, like a base level projection if he plays a full season. So I think Aaron Judge is for me pretty firmly. I said on the shortstop episode that I want Witt or Ohtani 1 or 2 and I don't really care that much between the two who I get. I think Judge is kind of his own mini tier at three. I think that's the move to make. If Judge gets a rap for being injury prone, and I guess it's the, yes, he has had injuries. It's more that the size of the man. And I guess now the age, this will be Aaron Judge's age 33 season, but I don't know, man. Three of the last four seasons, 600 plus plate appearances, two of the last three with 690 plus plate appearances. This is the best four category hitter in the game. I think personally you're overthinking it if you don't take Aaron Judge number three overall this year.
Yeah, I think you're correct. I think I can finally swallow the pride on that one and just go with it type scenario and see where things go. I don't have a whole lot to add on Aaron Judge. Dude's an absolute monster that outside of stealing 20 bags, which you get from a lot of these earlier outfielders, he's going to blow every other stat out of the water, basically. So you can figure out steals later.
You can afford a Bryce Terang if you start with an Aaron Judge.
Yeah, he will blow everything out of the water. You can go get an Xavier Edwards later if you want. Don't worry about it. Knock yourself out. Kyle Tucker. The dude, ADP of 8 last year, injury riddled season because the Astros can't report jack squat. That was fun. He played 78 games, still hit 23 home runs and stole 11 bases while hitting .289. Consider that pretty good. All things, he walked more than he struck out percentage wise last year, which is pretty good. It's Tony Gwynn type stuff. I still believe Tucker is a 30-30 talent. Projections have him 31-21. I think this guy is really, really good. Now he's going to Wrigley. That could be a good and a bad thing. Depends on how you look at it. Lineup's still very good. Very good in Chicago. Maybe not as good as Houston once was, but I'm not worried about that change. I still have a ton of Kyle Tucker shares right now.
Yes, you do. including our current draft we're in together, which is a 12-team draft and hold. I had the 7th pick. You had the 5th, and I was certain I would get Kyle Tucker. Come on. Like, you would take J-Ram at 5, yep. And then other people would take, like, Ellie or Gunnar Henderson or whatever, and I would get Tucker at 7. It was going to be beautiful. And then Jose Ramirez went 4th, and then the second I saw that, I knew you were taking Kyle Tucker 5th, and I expressed my dislike for your pick shortly thereafter. So that tells you all how much we love Kyle Tucker. I think he should be 5th overall behind J-Ram. It's kind of too bad that it's funny, like early in draft season, there was some thought like, is Kyle Tucker a first rounder kind of thing coming off that quote unquote down season, just a fluky injury, right? With the fractured shin. Too bad the market isn't really giving a discount on Kyle Tucker with an ADP of 8. I like him at 8. I like him at 5. So Kyle Tucker is awesome. He is that one where I talk about drafting balance in the first round. There's not too many more players that are more balanced than Kyle Tucker. He gives you all 5 categories. And again, that just gives you so much more flexibility as you go down the draft and fill out your team. So Kyle Tucker's really good. I'm not really concerned about the move to Wrigley. He's awesome. He's good.
Yeah, I just looked. I've completed 10 drafts. If I want to count the one we're in now for 11 drafts, I have 4 Kyle Tucker shares, which is pretty impressive.
That's a lot.
Yeah, for that point, that's what I was clarifying. That's actually pretty big.
Are you going to keep doing that? Or
yeah,
okay.
Barring an injury, like we saw last year, like you said, that safety net that he brings in round one, I'm just in love with that safety net. Basically, like, I would have J-Ram ahead of him, and I would have taken him in the draft we're in, but like J-Ram went 4, and if I got to go between Tucker and Ellie, everyone knows where I'm going in that conversation. The third outfielder off the board, Juan Soto, also has an ADP of 8 right now. Soto, now a member of the Mets, but last year in the Bronx, 41 homers, 125 runs, 109 RBIs with a .288 batting average. Batting average is always locked in there, power's there. Just another consistent dude. He's basically, more power than Tucker a bit, but pretty similar. Just doesn't run as much as Tucker. But a lot of similarities between the two.
Yeah, except for the steals. I mean, you want to talk about floor with Juan Soto. He does play every single day. Like, he's really good, obviously. And then it's 700 plus plate appearances in each of the last two seasons. Like, he goes out there and plays every single day. I have this, like, weird, I don't know why, some weird bias against Juan Soto. I guess it's just I like other players around him more, that I almost never end up with Juan Soto in the first round. But
you and me both.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not really shade on Soto. I mean, he's good. I mean, the Baseball Forecaster, Juan Soto had 53 expected home runs last year. And wow, that's all based on StatCast. And that's not the park. That's park neutral. So in Yankee Stadium, we are suggesting he could have had like upwards of 60. You could make the point that, or make the argument that Juan Soto was actually a little bit unlucky in home runs last year. So I think a definite step below Judge in terms of power, but Juan Soto, if you want to take him in the middle first round, I'm not gonna hate on that.
Yeah, OBP league, he's a beast. Absolute
and yes, beast. OBP in points, he's right up there with Shohei, Judge.
Yeah, he's definitely towards the top.
Yeah.
Yep. He's up there. Now, the guy I pass on Soto for is Corbin Carroll, the fourth outfielder off the board, ADP of 10. I just looked. I have him in three of my first 10 completed drafts. So it's either Carroll or Tucker basically in the first round for me right now, because most of my drafts have been in the back end. So that answers that question. But Carroll, ADP of 10 right now, obviously a frustrating season where it started off really slow, but still ended with 22 homers and 35 steals and 121 runs scored, all things considered. Only hit 231. That was a bummer, of course, but horrific start to the season. And again, like I said, finished really strong. I'm buying into that finish. I'm buying back into Corbin Carroll. And this is a guy that he has the ability to be a top end of the first round pick, not a back end of the first round pick. So I like Tucker's got the floor that I can pretty much write down. I feel like Carroll, there is the floor's a little lower potentially, but that ceiling's even higher, I think.
Yeah, the ceiling is potentially best fantasy player. I mean, he can steal 50 plus bases. He can hit 280, which is what he did in 2023. And for me, it's the I think we can put the shoulder injury concerns in the rear view, at least for now, given the power that Corbin Carroll sustained over the second half of last year. It was those 20 home runs. It was 16 expected home runs. It was an 11% barrel rate. Like, the power is really good for Corbin Carroll. His age 24 season. Pretty wild batting average swing the last two seasons for Corbin Carroll, 285 in 2023 and then 231 last year. I am much more on the side of 285. I don't see how Corbin Carroll, given his speed and ground ball rate, how he has another like 260 BABIP like he had last year. I don't think that's like possible to happen again. So Corbin Carroll, yes, I am taking ahead of Juan Soto. I am also taking ahead of Fernando Tatis, who's our next guy at the same ADP. I think Carroll is awesome. And I agree with you, even though I'd like to debate you as much as I can. It's Tucker and Carroll in this mid first round for me.
Yep. And I backed it up with my money. I put my money where my mouth is when it came to those two guys already. You mentioned Fernando Tatis Jr. His ADP is 10 right there with Carroll as well. Coming off the year with only 102 games, 21 homers, 11 steals, hit 276. I've always been a huge fan of Tatis, but I passed on him last night with the 11th pick in the draft. I took J-Rod. We'll talk about him here pretty soon. The thing with Tatis for me, and again, I could just be foolish with this, but my first round, I kind of want some sort of floor. 102 games, 141, 130. Like, we haven't seen consistency there. And I kind of wanted, like, you see those game totals. Steamers got him for 150. ATC's got him for 146. Like, they're both projecting him for career highs in games played, which, okay, fine, you can't predict injuries, but prove it to me type thing. And in a first-round pick, it's tough for me to do, Ryan. Plus, if you do believe in projections, if you want to believe in the games, they all have him stealing. Like, when he's doing 25, 29 bags, that was great. They all have him below 20 steals. So,
right. And that's with a career high and playing time, like
exactly.
You said. So
exactly. So what's your thoughts on Tatis?
Yeah. I mean, of any hitter in the first round, I know Tatis is the one I like the least. I for the reasons you mentioned, that the health still scares me. We haven't had a first round season from Fernando Tatis since 2021. I mean, this will be 4 years. And so the consistency hasn't been there. The talent, sure, the talent's elite. This is a guy who was like a top two overall fantasy player around the COVID year. So like, that could come back. I wouldn't be surprised if it did, but the consistency has not been there. And that's what I want in a first round pick.
Yep. 100% on board with you there. The sixth outfielder off the board, ADP of 12, is Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts coming off a year, 19 homers, 16 steals, hit 289. So a down season, only played 116 games due to injuries, of course. Before that, though, just monster, 39 homer, 35 homers. Doesn't run as much as you'd hope compared to some of these other outfielders, but batting average is great. Runs scored is great. Like, I admit, he's just a weird one for me. We talk about him all the time. I know you like Betts. I struggle liking Betts. Where do you sit here with an ADP of 12 on Mookie Betts?
I mean, I expressed my love for Mookie in the shortstop episode, so I won't continue drooling over him. But I just think the batting, I'm taking the over on Steamer's 278 batting average projection. I think Betts is like a 290 hitter, and it's 700 plate appearances of a 290 hitter in that lineup where he could score 120 plus runs again like he did in 2023. I'm worried about the power. I don't think we see another 30 home run season from Mookie Betts like he did in 22 and 23, but there's still enough pop for upper 20s. I think he can still steal. I mean, he stole 16 last year in a partial season. I think he can get back up to 20 steals. Shortstop outfield eligibility. He is a target of mine if I don't get Carroll or Tucker in that first round.
Yeah. I really think we
beer betted him, right?
Maybe we really need to do a Mookie Betts.
Maybe we did. Show. I think.
We really need to do a debate show with like these other guys all around him. I'll take a number of these guys going before and after him. Like
Lindor versus Mookie.
Yeah, I took Lindor. Bet. That's right. And I'll take some of these other guys too if you want to go there. I'll take J-Rod if you'd like as well if you want to double down on that one. Julio Rodriguez, ADP of 14. Coming off some, again, considered down year, still 20 homers and 24 steals compared to Mookie's, 18 steals. 273 average for J-Rod. He's hit at least 273 in all three seasons. He's hit at least 20 home runs. On a down season, he still put up a 20-20 year, so I'm trying to say. He's gone 20-20 in all 3 years, including one 30-30 season. And that's age 21, 22, and 23. He's going to be 24 years old. Finished the year on a little bit of a heater, so hopefully – it seemed like he was playing hurt a lot last year. I remember that quite a bit. There were some nagging injuries with J-Rod. I took him at pick 11 over Tatis in the OC I was in. And projections have him for a near 30-30 season, once again, with a solid batting average. And I believe it. Like, I know that's a bad ballpark to hit in, but he's already proven he can do it a couple times. So I love J-Rod, and I'm not giving up on him just yet because of one down season at age 23.
No way. Yeah, agreed. I think the second half stolen base plunge was because he had a pretty bad ankle injury in July. Really did not run that much in the second half. However, in the second half, the power bounced all the way back. The track record, at like you said, at Julio's age is unmatched. I think you're getting a 30-30 guy with good batting average at the end of the first round in a 15-teamer or early second round in a 12. Like, if I get a late pick and beat the bloom on Monday night, I am looking at Julio in that second round wraparound. I think that's a smash. So Julio's really good. There's not many people who have the track record that Julio has at his age. It's crazy.
Yeah. Even if he's down, he's going to get you 20-20, which you'll take out of a down season. So I'm there for that. And then Jackson Churio, ADP of 18. I was hoping I was doing the J-Rod Churio wrap at 11 and then 2.2. Nah, he went to start round two. He went right before me. I was so looking forward to that combination because I do believe Jackson Churio is a first-round pick next year. I know it's not saying a lot with an ADP of 18, but I think it's the 30-30 guy that has 40. Like, this is an ex Acuña. I have said it before on other shows. Like, he's got the skill set. He's still 21 years old. Like, I don't know if it happens this year, but it's going to happen sooner than later. Last year at 21 homers and 22 steals in 148 games, went in 275 in his first season at age 20 in Major League Baseball. That is insane. Absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. After going 22 and 44 at age 19 in the minor leagues the year before. Projections are almost the same as Julio's, which are crazy. So I was so looking forward to a Julio Churio 1-2 start and just being like, yep, we're good in steals. We're good in everything right now. Let's just walk away. I probably would have taken a pitcher in round three. Let's put it that way. But we didn't have to go there. I love Churio. I've talked about him on a lot of shows about him, but I think 18 is too low.
What?
I'd take him over Tatis right now.
I would too. I would too. Yeah. You take him over Betts too.
Yes, I would.
I know that. It's just crazy. Remember when we drafted our meatball draft back in August, we were like, are we ready for a third round Jackson Churio? And everyone was like, whoa, that's crazy. And then it's like, are we ready for a second round Jackson Churio? And it's like, that's kind of where we're at now. I wouldn't be surprised. like you were saying, if Churio even moves up to that first round, second round wheel in a 15 teamer, which is wild because, and this is where I need to, this is where I need to adapt, Bubba. This is where I need to learn from you and adapt, because I can make the case that Jackson Churio, A, you're projecting someone to do what he has not done before. Steamer's projecting 8 more home runs and 5 more steals than he had last year. I don't like taking players where they have to do something they've never done before. However, like you said, he was 20 years old last year. What else can he do? He had 1 year to prove, and he did it. So if you want to go Churio, it's not the type of pick I make. I don't know if I can do it at a top 20 price, but I certainly, like you, if you want to say next to Cunha, whatever, like top 5 overall fantasy player next year, I would not be surprised one bit if it's Jackson Churio.
Michael Cicchini in the chat, dang, love Churio, but that's some Tatis slander.
Hey, we can't love all these guys. It gets boring if we just say all these guys are good.
So. Yeah, I let my feelings reign true, and I back it up. So, next guy, Yordan Alvarez.
Churio's already had, sorry to interrupt, I think Churio has already had more plate appearances last year than Tatis has had in
the last,
if
years.
Not, I don't have, no, like in the last 5. I don't have the Tatis in front of me, but
oh no, maybe. He's done more. He had 140 games 2 years ago.
Five, how many plate appearances?
Oh, I thought you were being combined in the last 5 years. Like, that's not even possible.
No.
Oh no, I think you're right.
Tatis has never had his career high is 635 plate appearances, has not had a 550 plus plate appearance season in his career. Churio, 573 last year. So I'm talking a little bit out my rear end, but it's just interesting.
No, back it up. Preach. All right. Yordan Alvarez, ADP of 19. He used to be on the 1-2 turn. Now he's fallen back a little bit in round 2. This is a guy that I know we talk about being hurt a lot. Still played 147 games, hit 35 bombs, hit 308. I think you want the thing with him that keeps getting me off is like the batting average is elite. The power is elite. So he's like what you want from like a Pete Alonso, but he hits for average. Problem is his runs and RBIs. He's only had 100 RBIs once. He's never scored 100 runs, and he doesn't run. So, sorry, Nick, I'm not hating your pick, but I just want to bring up the fact that if we are going to pick apart some of these early guys, like everyone says, we're giving love and this and that. Yordan's a great talent, but for his ADP, he's basically giving you 2 elite categories where you want at least 4 elite categories, and you're not getting 4 elite categories, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's pretty damn close to elite.
For a guy that hits almost 40 home runs, how do you not have more than 104 RBIs as your career high one time?
But it's been 104, 97, 97. Like that's, I don't care. That's pretty damn solid. Like that's pretty good. The biggest thing for me with Yordan is Greg Oden syndrome.
Yes, we've talked about that nickname. I threw you off on that one time. That was good.
That was one of your better ones of all time. I just worry about the old man knees. It has affected Yordan Alvarez every single season, however he has played through. I mean, that's why he hasn't had 120 RBI season, is because he's only averaging like 550 plate appearances, maybe 570 in those last 4 years. That's really the only reason why. So I don't know. I took, full disclosure, I took Yordan Alvarez in the second round of my current 12 team draft and hold. I think it's fine because he has been able to manage the knee and play through it. Like 635 plate appearances last year, hit 308. Like it obviously doesn't affect him on the field. It's just something I like in the back of my mind when I clicked on his name, I was like, ugh. But randomly, just one last piece, he had 6 steals last year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't know how that happened. And like, I agree with you. He doesn't run, but like, what the hell?
Yeah,
he had 6 steals. He had 2 for his career before that. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the home run leaderboard from last year, and all the guys that hit fewer home runs with him that drove in more RBIs is a pretty interesting statistic. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. It's just he needs to do more. I still think he's great. If you want to pick him, I'm not going to knock it because his batting average alone is worth
probably that pick. It's the batting average is massive. I mean, it's the best batting average of any outfielder.
You're going to put 35 plus home runs and a 300 average. Yeah. So I get it is what I'm saying. It's just, I want more. I'm greedy. I want more with that ADP is all I'm trying to say, but I get it. I get it. If you want to go that direction. All right. Jaren Duran got my first share of Jaren Duran in the draft we're doing right now. Cause it's just a tough click, but it works, I guess. His ADP is 22 right now, coming off 21 homers, 34 stolen bases with a 285 average. Ryan, what I want to ask you is that the reason it's hard for me to click him sometimes is I don't know if he's a 20 home run guy. Projections don't have him hitting 20. I believe in the speed. I'm 100% there. Mm-hmm. The batting average is a concern as well. We saw 285 and 295 the last 2 years. Projections have him much lower. So it's kind of one of those, like, I need the average or the power. I can't lose both. That's right. It's hard for me to take that clip with him.
Yeah, and I think I do think so. I mean, I kind of made this point in the third base episode with Jazz Chisholm. I think it applies here as well. I mean, what I worry most about. So yes, I think there's going to be some pullback from what we saw in 2024. The power. I mean, like a lot of the skills did support what Jaren Duran did last year. It's what I said about Jazz Chisholm. You're banking on someone who has been pretty injury prone throughout his career. He's not young anymore. This is Jaren Duran's age 28 season, and you're banking on him doing that again and paying a record high price to do it. I mean, that's basically the equation with Jazz Chisholm. And if Jazz and Jaren Duran simply just do what they did last year, get close to it, this price is awesome. But I look at Jaren Duran's plate appearances the last three seasons. This includes minor leagues. 386 in 2021, 528, and then 412. And then all of a sudden 735 last year. Like, that's a monster plate appearance total that Jaren Duran has never even gotten close to before in his career. So I just worry, are we out of the woods with Jaren Duran from an injury standpoint? And I think at a, what's his 22 ADP, I think that's a valid critique to make.
Yeah, I got him at pick 29 in our NFBC 50. So
no, he fell
at that point in round three. I'll go there. It's like we kind of talked about it before the show and talking about our teams here. It's like, if I'm looking for speed after Duran, it's a lot of yellow brick road and some questionable situations. Like, the guy I could have taken instead of him would be Wyatt Langford if I want to push him up. We'll talk about him in a second. But Duran fell, so I took him for my first share. I have avoided him for a lot of the concerns you've mentioned and the concerns I've mentioned. Wondering if he'll prove me wrong, basically. And the projections, they're way off compared to, like I said, the last 2 years when it comes to the average, which is really intriguing to me of why. But it's
263 does seem,
it's a massive drop off.
Seem very low. The forecaster, we've got 273 and he hit 285 last year.
So yeah, 285 and 295 for back to back years. Like, it's a big drop.
Yeah, that is interesting. I don't really know why.
So we'll see.
I take the over. I would take the over.
I would as well, for sure. All right. That's the top 10 in the outfield at the current ADPs. Now we're going to take a couple players each from 11 through 20 as we do, and then we'll go 21 through 30 before we kick off the next week's 31 through 60 episode. But on 11 through 20, you got Jazz, who we just talked about, Jackson Merrill, Acuna, Michael Harris, O'Neill Cruz, Wyatt Langford, James Wood, Teoscar Hernandez, Lawrence Butler, Brenton Doyle. I will preface this before Ryan kicks us off. This range, both these ranges, usually when we do other shows, you're kind of plugging your nose at times. These are all loaded players for the most part. So we're just kind of telling you kind of maybe our guys in this range is what it comes down to. So we'll see where that goes. But Ryan, who's the first one for you?
I think, and maybe this is some of that free agent discount, quote unquote, still sneaking in, but I think Teoscar Hernandez is the value projection of the draft, like where he's going. The numbers I look at actually have Teoscar Hernandez better than Jaren Duran straight up. I like Teoscar Hernandez better than Ronald Acuna straight up, Michael Harris straight up, O'Neill Cruz straight up. He's going after all those guys. And so a price of 64, he's back in LA where he just had a really good season, best team context in the country. I think Teoscar Hernandez going, he should be, I think, roughly like a 40 ADP, and he's going 64. I have taken Teoscar Hernandez early and often. He is my 26th rated hitter right now and 40th hitter off the board. So he's awesome.
I apologize because I know you mentioned this out the gate, or it's probably on our outline here. This is DC ADP, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I took Teoscar Hernandez at pick 62 last night in the OC draft. I was pretty pumped on that. So, yeah, that was a fun pick for me. So I love the Teoscar. It's a guy we've liked. I remember last year we were all over him, and then he signed and his ADP flew. We were like, God dang it. Love
Teoscar. It may fly. Well, I mean, but he signed. I mean, this ADP is January draft and hold.
No, this should have adjusted pretty good by now.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I can't explain why it's so cheap.
Like Teoscar, Yeah, I got the January ADP up for DCs. He's gone as high as 55. It's not like he's that much of a difference. Huh. I think people take pitchers in rounds 3 and 4. That's why. All right. Mine's going to be Jackson Merrill. This is a guy that honestly surprised he's still down here with all the hype going behind Jackson Merrill. Right now has an ADP of 26, which obviously still a second round pick in a 15. But coming off a rookie year where I thought he was the rookie of the year personally, 24 home runs, 16 steals at 292, 90 RBIs, carried the Padres for a long time there to keep them in the race for as long as they did. Again, 21 years old. I think it's another 20-20, maybe 30-20 type guy. He's got a lot of Kyle Tucker-esque in him is what I'll say. Ooh. When it comes to power, speed, average. If they move
a quick weight above his heart.
Yeah, if they move him into like the middle of that order, maybe fifth behind like Machado or something, or they move him up to second in front of Tatis and Machado. There's even more either runs or RBI production there. Maybe he runs more if he hits second. There is a lot of room for fantasy growth with Jackson Merrill, and that's what a guy that I'd be willing to take a shot at if you somehow get a Judge or a Bobby Witt or a J-Ram in the early first round to pair it up with a Jackson Merrill. I think I'd be a heck of a way to get things going. So, big fan of that.
And I remember us on our forecaster episode talking with Chris Olsen, who had Merrill's box. And Olsen basically said, like, or maybe I said this, but maybe he agreed. I don't know. Details. It's recorded. You can watch minor it.
Details.
It was fascinating. Someone coming off a breakout season like Merrill, I know it's just his rookie season, for us to plan on or project even further growth from that is kind of rare for what we do at HQ, but Jackson Merrill kind of checked all the boxes to be able to do that. So,
yep.
Yeah,
I agree. Who's your second one in this range?
This is not a target. This is just someone I want to discuss. I want to bring up Ronald Acuna. I need to bring up Ronald Acuna.
I need to bring up Ronald Acuna.
Who's going 36th. I don't get it. I look at, and maybe we're looking at, maybe we're being a little too, like, Steamer projecting 46 steals and 27 homers. I just don't think that's possible for Acuna. They're projecting, I think, 586 plate appearances. I've got this rankings projections tool that I'm very shortly, once the bat comes out.
Any day.
Derek Cardi. Any day now. Once this comes out, I'm releasing this projections tool that has rankings and whatnot, but you can adjust the playing time and kind of instantly see what happens to these players' values. Right now, at the Steamer provided projection of upper 500 plate appearances, which I don't think Ronald Acuna can get, he's like a mid $30 player, which is really good and worth the ADP. If I drop him down to like 500 plate appearances, which I think is a little bit more accurate, drops down to like the low 20s, and I think that's the most realistic outcome for Ronald Acuna. And I just can't get behind a top 40 pick for someone who is at least missing the first month of the season from everything I've read and seen, and potentially longer. So I don't get the playing time projection for Acuna. And I think that's probably driving the early price.
You mean you didn't see him taking batting practice on the backfield and in his hometown hitting bombs? You didn't see that?
I did see that. It was cool. It was cool. It was fun to watch, but no.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the projections are nuts. The steals, even as SFO Sox fan says the same thing, like 46 steals seems bananas on that knee and quite possibly not a full season. Yeah, like we're all on the same page. I'm with you there. I guess the question I'll have for you, I'll flip it back since it is a discussion. I'm glad you brought it up because he is worth discussing, being the former number one pick and the injury and whatnot. I know you and I, there's probably no correct answer because we don't take injured players. Where do you think is a proper ADP for him, not at 36.
So I'll take a numbers driven approach to this. Of course, if I knock him down to 500, I would say that puts him the 15th overall hitter. No, it doesn't make sense.
No.
Yeah. Let me double check that. I probably wouldn't take Acuna until 50, 60.
Okay.
Maybe so even like would you like? I would take Teoscar over Acuna, yeah. No doubt. But like once you get to Lawrence Butler, Brenton Doyle, and then there's a gap to Seiya Suzuki, I think that's probably where I'd consider it. But I don't.
It'll never happen. But yes,
that won't happen. That won't.
But happen. Yeah, I'm with you there. All right, my second guy here is Wyatt Langford. I mentioned we talk about him later. ADP of 47 right now. When it comes to Langford, 16 homers, 19 steals, hit .253, and honestly, that's pretty good season considering how horrific the start was, then the injury when it came to Langford. In the second half, he hit .251. He hit .254 in the first half, but he had 11 home runs in the second half, 5 in the first. Remember, he had his first home run, took forever, and it was an inside the Parker. Like, just couldn't get anything going. Stole 11 of his 19 bases in the second half. So the 62-game second half, 11 homers, 11 steals at .251. That's 62 games. I know you can't just extrapolate from that, but like that's a dude that's going 25-25 potentially if things click and he's hitting for average. Right now, Roster Resource has him batting third. That's pretty bullish with that line. They also have Berger hitting like seventh or eighth. Don't see that happening. Langford should be hitting like second or I guess third if you move other guys around, but you don't want to bury Wyatt Langford. I just think there's like a 25-25 guy there with maybe more as he gets clicking. Another dude that's super young. He's 23. He's outside of that Churio Jackson Merrill world. I was doing some stuff earlier today looking at him, Ryan, and he went round 10 in our meatball draft because he was still like not great at that point.
To Steve Weimer, of all people.
Yeah, like
ADP, as if he needs more help.
Like a 151 ADP or some craziness like that. So, that's the gift that keeps on giving. I like Wyatt Langford a lot. That's where I was saying, like, where I took Jared Duran, I could have seen myself go ahead. Do I reach and push Wyatt Langford up to pick 29? I don't think so. But it would have been interesting. He went at the beginning of round 4 in our 50. So he went ahead of ADP still at that point. So I like Langford a lot. I think there is a definite ceiling play when you draft a Wyatt Langford.
I don't want to steal the thunder, one of the listener questions we got, but just looking at this board, it's fascinating to see Wyatt Langford, James Wood, with basically the exact same steamer projection going next to each other at the position. Langford's going 7 picks earlier. I assume you would take Langford over James Wood straight up.
I'll say yes, and it's because I kind of have like a – I don't know enough about James Wood besides the hype train that went through AAA last year that got everybody going. I just don't know where Langford, at least I kind of did preseason work on last year, even getting ready for drafts because we knew he was coming, where we didn't know when would. Like, that's a me thing, not knowing prospects enough. And I was impressed with what he did, and I could be totally wrong on him. So, yeah, I guess just I got to take Teoscar over him, and that might be totally foolish of me.
I agree with you. I think I take Langford over Wood straight up. Langford has had, he's gone through the gauntlet, the adjustment, and handled it quite well with how he did, like you said, in the second half. That said, like I would take Teoscar over Langford and Wood. I don't see myself, you know me, I don't see myself taking either of those two guys at the price, but that's just me being old and conservative.
It is. You better watch your words
when I draft.
So you better watch your words right now. It is an interesting 16 through 20 pocket there. So you have Langford, Wood, then you have the veteran Teoscar, and you have Butler and Doyle. So you have four guys that are young, 20 plus home run power, basically 20 plus steals. They have Teoscar sitting in the middle of them.
The king sitting in the middle
On his throne. So very, very interesting little grouping right there. All right, 21 through 30, we got Seiya, Lubob, Brian Reynolds, Cody Bellinger, Anthony Santander, Toronto, I guess Tony Taters is what they call him, Riley Green, Christian Yelich, Spencer Steer, Randy Rosarena, and PCA. So, Ryan, who's your first guy in this grouping?
Continuing on my theme of being old, predictable, and boring, I'm going to go Brian Reynolds at 94. I love the floor. The floor is the projection, pretty much. The ceiling might be too. But I'm fine with that. I'm fine with getting 260, 25 home runs and like 10 steals with my 100 pick, 194, whatever it is. I just think Brian Reynolds is so damn consistent. He's balanced for all those reasons. Brian Reynolds is he's just like boring as hell, but he's my kind of boring. Brian Reynolds, he's the good oatmeal, as Derek Van Riper has coined the term.
Yeah, the one thing I'll tell you is, in your OC on Monday, the boring Reynolds is not as fun of a pick there as he is in a 15. I'm just going to throw that one out to you. Just as a heads up. What
do you mean? Oh, just because you want more higher ceiling?
Yes, where he's going in drafts, yes. That's what I'd say. Top 100 pick, you want a little more like stability in a 15, a little more ceiling in a 12, if that makes any sense. But you do you. Prove me wrong.
Oh, man. Giving me advice, my elder here.
Just trying.
I want to see first, his, yeah, go, no, go ahead. I
was honestly shocked that you didn't pick this guy as you, because you had the first choice in this region. Seiya Suzuki for me. Like, this is a dude we've loved on this show, and it's been oblique injuries to start the last two seasons. That's kind of sidelined things. But he still finished with 21 homers and 16 steals last year. That's the big shocker after 9 steals and 6 steals the previous 2 years. Hit 283 last year after 285. Like, even on a down season, you can pencil in 20-plus home runs. Steals is the question, but, you know, like 75, 75, and 280, which is pretty darn solid, all things considered. And if he could actually play a full, healthy season, God forbid what we might get from a Seiya Suzuki without an oblique hindering him. And another guy I've backed up, put my money where my mouth is, I have him in 60% of my leagues right now. So, yeah, team Seiya right now. I love me some Seiya Suzuki.
Yeah, I do too, but not as much as you now. I'm backing off just ever so slightly, because it is 2 years in a row of an oblique injury. And I believe, is it the same oblique?
Same one. The weird part is it was always to start the season, and then he played through it the rest of the time. It was weird.
Right. But like, will that happen the third time? I mean, I don't know.
And
but
he's supposed to DH this year, they said.
Well, I mean, he still has to swing.
Hopefully it helps.
Yeah, maybe. I know one of the obliques he hurt swinging, so that won't help. But yeah, no, I think Seiya Suzuki is freaking awesome. We need to see that full season, and it's not like Seiya Suzuki is a spring chicken anymore. He's 30, so we'll see. I hope it works. Actually, I kind of don't, because I'm in on Seiya Suzuki every year except for maybe this year. I still like him, like I said, but the 2 years in a row of an oblique starts to worry me as he hits the 3-0.
Oh, you'd be an ageist over there. Got you. Who's your second guy on this list?
I don't know. Who is it? Oh, okay.
Jeez Louise.
It's what a show.
Yeah.
It's my guy. It's Randy Arozarena.
Your guy.
The new king of the Pacific Northwest, Randy Arozarena. I just I've made the case for Randy Arozarena a few times on the pod in the past, but to repeat myself slightly, this is someone who had just an awful, terrible, no good season in 2024, yet still went 2020, still had a 2020 season in his worst year, basically, in recent memory. And so I think that's the absolute floor for Randy Arozarena. The batting average, he hit .219 last year. This is someone who has, yes, the batting average has dropped every year the last 4 years, but it's gone from .281. That doesn't count. That's COVID year, 76 plate appearances. But it's gone from .274, .263, .254 down to .219 last year. Strikeout rate stayed pretty firm. It was mostly just a career low BABIP that drove that .219 batting average. So I think Randy Arozarena can get back to like a .250 hitter. I think the steamer projection of .238 is pretty low. And then you're getting a .250 hitter with, I think, locked in pretty much 2020 homers and steals. I think that's a pretty good rebound pick to make at 133.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I've always been team Randy. So if you want to take the bounce back, because even when he sucks, he's 2020, which is nice. At least like, yeah. If he's going to crush you in one category, he can elevate you in the others. I'll take that more often than not. So
I mean, the park, I don't love the park. I don't love the park at all, but I still think it worked for him.
Yeah, so I'm with you. The park's not going to change either because I don't see him going anywhere after this year. I think you're in the same boat right there. All right, for me, now this is where it got tricky. Like, what do I want to take in this range? And it is an injury concern. I'm not going to knock it. But Christian Yelich at 116, like, he had the surgery, which was actually good because we see so many guys with back issues just miss time and rehab and come back, and the back issues keep coming. So I'll take that grain of salt. Now, any back injury, still not great. I know guys that had multiple surgeries because it keeps getting screwed up. Like, that's just the reality. But when it comes to Christian Yelich, he's supposed to be healthy for opening day. Again, these are all supposed to be. ADP is 116. This is a guy, if healthy, back in 2023, we saw 19 and 28. We saw 14 and 19 before that. Like, we've had a discussion on this show. This is kind of who he is now. Probably 15 to 20 homers, 20-ish stolen bases. So you have a 2020 appeal, but a good batting average. Going to lead off and score a ton of runs because King William is going to drive him in. That's just the reality of the situation. Yes, it took 1 hour and 49 minutes, but we got there, folks. Or 1 hour, 49 seconds, sorry. But with Yelich at this point, I'm going to get a batting average asset, potential 2020 upside. Like, if you want to start looking at projections, those Wyatt Langfords, those James Woods, those Butlers, you can go O'Neill Cruz's. That's Christian Yelich. Like, he's all of those guys, and he's going anywhere from 60 to 80 picks later. Like, depends on how you want to look at things. So it's more of it's a definite risk. Not going to deny it, but it's a risk that has a pretty dang impressive ceiling if he can just stay healthy for like 140 games. I think there's a lot to like there with Christian Yelich.
Agreed. And you look at, I mean, the projections absolutely pop for him. The projections, as they should, project a fair good bit amount of playing time for Christian Yelich. I just think, and I mean, I'm echoing you at this point, I just don't think we'll know if Christian Yelich is healthy until the end of the year. Like, I don't think, just the way back injuries work, and like, will we really know if the surgery was effective if he makes it through spring training? Like, I don't know. So I agree, it's a risk. And I don't think there's any way to possibly know until Christian Yelich actually puts his surgically repaired back through a full MLB season, if he can do it. So.
And I like the pick much more in a 12 than a 15, because you can wiggle out of it in a 12, a 15, you might be pretty hindered with that kind of pick.
While you were talking about earlier, I did look up Brian Reynolds' ADP in 12 teamers. It's a 99 ADP compared to 94 in 15 teamers. Where Yelich is a 116. Would you take, does the 15 versus 12 conversation, does that enter in with like a Brian Reynolds versus Yelich? Where like in a 15, would you go Reynolds?
I take Reynolds, yes. I take that flag. I think Reynolds is a phenomenal 15 team league play.
Like, but in a 12 teamer, you would take Yelich over?
I would take Yelich. I would look for more upside at that point.
Okay.
Like, I took Seiya over him. That was the discussion me and Ben had in the OC draft. I took Seiya because I think, again, it's if he stays healthy, but a healthy say gives you more five category juice than Brian Reynolds does.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's just where I'm looking at that point in time. Is I'm looking just to try to maximize it. It's a combination of the 12 teams. There's replacement value. It's also in the OC, especially. Again, we can talk satellites and stuff another time, but you're going for the overall. So, like, I'm not saying take all these injury risk guys, but if you're going from player A and player B, probably take the ceiling, like, type situation more often than not. Not all the time, but more often than not. Like, take your boring guys later. That's,
man, I'm not cut out to be in these 12s.
Oh, that's why I'm really looking forward to seeing how this goes for you. I'm not trying to be like mean about it. It's just not your
not forte. Game.
That's why you play 15s. I play 12s. It's just the difference between the two of us. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that'll be my biggest adjustment on Monday night, and I get to do it on the fly in front of people.
Yeah, to be fair, if you play it safe and you get the playing time, you could probably win your league. I just don't know if you have any chance in the overall.
Any chance at the overall. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So, no, don't go there. Don't go there. All right. Any final thoughts on the top 30 here? We'll give a full position thought, in a couple episodes, but Any thoughts on the top 30? It's pretty,
no,
pretty
stacked. I think you covered it well. It's pretty stacked, but you also need a bunch of them. So that's why there are so many of these guys going. I think it is valuable to, for your own prep, focus as much on the guys you like as the guys you don't like, and kind of eliminate some of those guys. Like that's kind of the reason why I brought up Acuna. I think that's a valuable exercise to go and do at outfield, especially early on, is eliminate the guys you don't want versus the other way around, because there are plenty of good options, well-balanced options here at the top, as there pretty much is every year.
100% agree. All right, let's get the listener questions. We have a bunch. We have a couple on the old Twitter app, and we have a ton in the Patreon Discord, which has been great for the shows. First on Twitter, we'll start with our buddy Joe Arrico, who is in the Patreon. He just basically makes a statement: Steamer will pay for its crimes against Seiya. I agree, my friend. I agree.
Yeah, that was funny. I like that one.
Our big buddy, Big John Stud, John Legesa, says, overall outfield depth becomes a driving factor in draft strategy, especially in 15-teamers. What's your assessment of the position compared to last year? We kind of showed the graph, and I'll stop there, but what else? What's your assessment?
Yeah, no, I just to kind of reiterate the graph from earlier in the episode, I think it's important to know where those cliffs are at the position. I think too many cliffs around outfield 15 and then outfield like 35, and then it goes to hell around 55 or 60. So take that information as you will with how many outfielders you want to get, especially before that outfield 55 through 60 group that we'll talk about, we'll dive deeper into next week.
Yep. Mitch says, projections all seem to have Bellinger at 22 to 23 home runs. Am I crazy for thinking the stadium bump could get him to 30? Ryan, you've been a Bellinger guy more than me. What do you think?
I took Bellinger today over your boy, Bubba Burger, but I just needed steals, so that was kind of the deciding factor there. I absolutely think this could help Cody Bellinger get to 30 home runs. He's a big fly ball guy. 47% fly ball rate three of the last four seasons. I think that swing plays well for Yankee Stadium. So, yeah, a little surprised the projections aren't a little bit higher on Cody Bellinger in the power department. Then again, like, it has been a 6% barrel rate each of the last two seasons. So they probably are giving a little boost, but I do think it's possible for Cody to hit 30 home runs in that park.
Yeah, ceiling, like, if he runs hot, there you go. Yeah, he's got to run hot, though. I've just been anti-Bellinger because the profile is sketchy, but the ballpark will definitely give a boost. Yeah. All right, let me pull up the old Patreon here to the listener questions. And like I said, you guys came through. We'll start with our buddy Aaron Gift says, will Santander move up in ADP now that he's no longer a free agent? If so, how far? Ryan, when it comes to Santander, just pulling up the old ADP here. He's got as high as 89, though.
Okay.
Yeah, in the month of January.
That's a bit. Yeah. I think Santander is one of those guys that falls into the, he's good enough, we know he's going to sign, so we're just going to draft him. I don't think there was too much of a free agent discount. And then now that we know the landing spot, like, I don't think it's any kind of major boost. I guess, I don't know. Like, he's 111 right now. So right behind Bellinger, Brian Reynolds, Luis Robert, and Seiya Suzuki. I don't think that he may move ahead of Bellinger, but I don't see Santander going ahead of Reynolds, moving that much up into the 90s.
Yeah, I think, yeah, Santander might get the little bump, like you said, but even Bellinger got a bump in Yankee Stadium. I just don't think there's a lot of room for Santander to move. And
he's the kind of guy who's going to go, I think, go down, go later in ADP, because he is kind of that older, boring hitter as we get closer to March and pitchers move up.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Aaron gets had another question here. Is PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong's ADP price too steep? I like him, but I've had trouble pulling the trigger unless he falls a bit. Current ADP is 134, Ryan. When you look at PCA, he's gone between 117 and 154 in the month of January. Is that 133 ADP okay for you?
I think it kind of goes back a little bit to the ceiling floor thing we talked about with 12s and 15s. It's tough. We just don't have that much of a sample with PCA. It was 410 plate appearances in the majors last year. yes, he made some really nice improvements down the stretch. I remember both of us hating on PCA when he was first brought up because he didn't do anything except play defense. Like he was horrendous. But the barrel rate doubled from first half to second half. The strikeout rate went down. He runs like crazy. So I think there's a case to be made to take those 266 plate appearances of PCA in the second half. That was 9 home runs, 260 batting average, 12 steals. Like, he could keep that up. I mean, the forecaster, we have an upside of PCA of 260, 20 home runs, and 40 steals. I mean, you want to talk about ceiling, that is it. I mean, that's an upside. That's a ceiling type projection there. I think the floor is what we saw early from PCA. So it's just he's one of the tougher ones for me to evaluate for this year.
You said 260, 20, 40?
Yes, that's the upside.
That's almost Corbin Carroll's steamer projection.
Yep.
That's insane. Yep. So I just want to put that in perspective for the listeners.
It's really good.
And I think I'm with you because I remember we just trashed him last year. But then I know towards the end of the year in the fab things when he started improving, our tune did start to change. Like, I remember I even picked him up for like a dollar or two and a couple 12s to stream in certain weeks where the Cubs faced a bunch of righties. So there's something definitely there. A lot of my questions with PCA is, where in the lineup is he going to hit? I'm guessing towards the bottom. So that'll limit stuff, especially when you're looking at most guys in this top 30, they're more productive in the run, like top of the order type stuff that you're talking about. But I agree. I guess is a floor ceiling play. Like, here you go. So floor, Randy Rosarena. Ceiling, PCA, right?
Yeah. But that's what I got to think about.
I would still personally take Randy in your draft, but that's me. Because I still think his floor is pretty impressive.
High.
But yeah. Like, would you go PCA over Spencer Steer?
I don't know, man.
But these are where.
No, I mean, probably not. But yeah, it's a really good question. And we've got, I mean, you want to kind of dive in what changed with PCA down the stretch. And we do have amidst a whirlwind of Uncle Ted chats in here. He is saying that PCA lost his leg kick at some point.
Don't be scared to jump in, everybody else. It's just Uncle Ted.
That's right. There was a loss of a leg kick, so I might want to look at that and see when that happened. But I don't know. It's like I said, he is one of the tougher ones for me to figure out this year.
It's okay. Uncle Ted was preaching about him when he sucked too. Ben Ted had to correct you on something. Sean Chard in the chat. I believe he's drafting with you on Monday night.
But it did correct me on.
You put outfield review part one. He corrected you and said preview part one. Just because he's being hilarious. Sean Chard says, James Wood and Wyatt Langford always seem to go within a couple picks of each other in drafts. I've done an invariable order. Which are you higher on this year?
So yeah, we kind of covered that, right? I think we both said Langford. But I also said Teoscar over both of them. So
yeah, I got Langford for sure. That just could be a blind spot for me with Wood. I agree the talent's there. I will just fully open agree that I don't have a feel for him like I do in a bunch of other players we talk about. I just don't. Derek says, when Brent Rooker regains outfield eligibility, where would he slot in among the group? Thoughts on his current ADP and how much that would change if there was clarity on outfield playing time. So when you're looking at Brent Rooker right now, because he's util only in NFBC formats, I forgot I'm on outfield only right now. Let's change that bad.
Around Lawrence Butler, it's an ADP of 73.
There you go. I don't see him going too much higher if you got outfield. Honestly, that's already pretty. That's pretty steep as it is, and I like him a lot. You think he's 73? You think he'd move up? Well, it's five picks. Like, does he jump Teoscar?
Wow. No, his stats
are better. His stats are better, dude. Like, honestly, look at him.
His stats are better. What are you talking about? His stats last year were better. That's true.
Well, the discussion, he's had 30 plus home runs back to back year, just 11 bags last year.
Yeah. Better park this year.
I think we all agree, like, the batting average is coming down, but we agree the power is legit. So the batting average comes down, the power is legit. He is Teoscar Hernandez.
Yeah. Maybe that's
a little bit of speed.
It's a good point. Point taken. So yeah, maybe Brent Rooker does move up to like a 60 ADP from where he's currently at, which kind of makes sense because it does kind of suck to have Brent Rooker as utility only.
Yep.
So yeah, I think he could move up around Teoscar ADP. I'll go with that.
And Oakland is whispering that they're going to move him back to the outfield with the leg injury last year. So if they do, it's still whispers. Nothing's for sure. But if they do, you draft him accordingly, basically, is what this whole discussion was for.
Yep.
Our buddy GP Churchill says Nimmo's AAV of $5 make it make sense.
We will in the future. I'm going to punt on that one. I haven't looked into Nimmo. We'll get to him.
Nimmo's next week. Maybe the week after. It might be Thursday. We'll see.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We got some moving parts. It'll either be Thursday or Tuesday. It'll be one of the two, depending on what we're doing here. We got some options. Our buddy BP at futures_bets says chances Wyatt Langford out homers everybody on the left side of the sheet except Judge and Alvarez.
Wow. Wyatt, is that you?
Basically hits 30 or more home runs is what it comes down to. I don't think so, no.
No. I mean, really, it has to hit 35, 40. Yeah.
I like him a lot, but I don't know if we get that much.
Yeah, I mean, the power was pretty damn good in the minors, so it could happen. But no, I think the allure with Langford is more the five-category balance than it is like an elite power, at least in his sophomore season.
Yep. Our buddy Lucas Bury says, which outfielder going in the top 30 overall of ADP is the most likely to totally bust?
That's a really good question. I will go, just to bring up someone new that we haven't really talked about, I'll go with Brenton Doyle.
That's fair. With
Brenton Doyle.
The way of Nolan Jones.
That's the easy comp because same team, same kind of rise. But I just, you look at everything Brenton Doyle did last year, it looks great. You take the wider view of his career arc, the higher they rise, the harder they fall sometimes. So I'll go with Brenton Doyle with an honorable mention, Lawrence Butler, which may make some waves, but I know you like Butler, but I'll go Butler.
Wow. We might have to re-talk about this podcast future. Well, you want to make waves? So did he say not in the top 30 next year?
Butler's fine. Butler's fine. I'll say Doyle.
I like the Doyle.
You probably say Bellinger.
No, that's my usual pick.
What about Lou Bob?
I was going to say Ronald Acuña Jr.
Oh, okay. Wow.
What if the knee just doesn't come back the way it's supposed to? Like, he might still play half a season, three quarters of a season, but to the production of a first round top 30 pick, maybe not. So I'll go Ronald Acuña Jr. Just to really, you want to get some waves? I'll go Ronald Acuña Jr. on this one.
Hey, what do you think about Lou Bob in a 12, 93 overall? I'm intrigued.
I'm fine with it because it's a former like top two round pick when we're talking about it. The power is still there. Speed should be there. He's hit for average most of his career outside of a hiccup. That's why honestly the 244 projection average is kind of surprising because of Lou Bob. It's a lot of team context. A lot of team context in that one. And hopefully he gets traded and then you're really sitting pretty. So I think he is another very interesting 12 team play. Because there is a ceiling, there is a massive floor, but there is a ceiling with Lou Bob.
Yeah.
Okay, that is a 30-30 dude.
Michael says, how dare you, Ryan, LOL. I'm assuming that's about my quip on Lawrence Butler. I take that back. Apologies. Yes. Apologies. Never was said. Strike it from the record. Lawrence Butler's fine.
All right. Martin Sikolsky says, is this the year J-Rod puts together a complete season from start to finish and finally realizes the value that we saw in his rookie season? I pray to God the answer is yes.
I mean, if it's yes, it's a 40-40 season.
Yep.
And like at least.
I'm all about that life. Like hitting 290, 40-40 with 200 runs in RBIs at least. Like,
I mean, he's shown 30-30 seasons with partial seasons. So I don't know if this is the year that it happens, but it certainly could be. J-Rod is still a young buck.
And the last question we have from our buddy Michael Cicchini in the Discord here. The inverse to Lucas's question, name a post 30 outfielder or two who can jump into the top 15 next year. I'm going to say we save that for next week's episode or the next episode when we start talking post 30 guys. Does that work?
Works for me.
Yeah, we'll save that one and we'll bring that one back, Michael, but I did not ignore you is what I was trying to put across there.
We never would ignore Michael.
He's the man.
One of our more loyal folks out there. We appreciate you, man.
Yeah, and then this was earlier, and there was a lot of discussion in the YouTube chat about this, but I want to get your thoughts from Kevin Hastings. How about Yordan versus Soto? Soto projects for more runs and a handful more steals. Yordan 20 points of batting average and a few more RBIs.
Soto. I mean, yeah Soto. I just think the floor with Soto is a lot better than the floor with Yordan with the knees. So I'll go Soto.
I'm with you as well. But all right, my friend, we're going to wrap it up there. 1 through 30 in the books. Again, we have the next two coming at you, 31 through 60, 60 through 90. Either we'll be back with you on this on Thursday, or we have another topic we might bring to the table that's up for debate at this point in time. But we will get these for you guys over the next couple episodes to get you through the positions and get you to the mound when we'll start talking pitching after that. And before you know it, we'll be doing pockets of ADP and, God, all kinds of fun stuff. Like, it's close. Pitchers and catchers report in like 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a fun stretch, man. The, I don't know. People probably don't like to hear this, but we've gotten like a ton of Patreon subs lately. Like, it's just been really cool to see people joining in and kind of buying into what we're doing here. So these next 2 months, like, where it's like the peak of fantasy baseball interest, buckle up, as you said,
yes,
before we teed off at golf at first pitch. Buckle up.
Yeah. Buckle up. Buckle baby. Up. Speaking of that individual, I'll be having my mental public sometime next week. So buckle up, folks. And on that note, we're going to wrap it up there. Make sure you follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Intrick. This was Bubba the Bloom, episode 206. Catch y'all next time.